Father, we enter your word with the reverence that it deserves, fully conscious of the limitations of our natural human minds, to firstly deliver and secondly receive your infinite wisdom that has been compressed into this marvelous written word. We therefore ask you to help us, giving me fresh unction and anointing, so I will speak as I should as an oracle of God, and putting the same unction and anointing upon the ears and the hearts of all who will hear me, those who are physically present, those who will hear me remotely, electronically, so that the word will flow freely from you through me to the people to do an internal and eternal work in all of our hearts, including mine. In particular, to cause our wills to become more humble, minds to be more enlightened with revelation knowledge, emotions to be more tempered and controlled by the power of the fruit of the Holy Spirit. We further pray for mercy to be faithful to deliver this word indeed with precision, to redeem the time and say only what you want me to say, bringing out treasure of this word, things new and old, indeed as a scribe instructed unto the kingdom. In Jesus' wonderful name we pray. And all those in agreement, receiving all the blessings, agreed and said, this afternoon I have a very important message for us. It is entitled Laboring by Grace. In this new year and decade, you're going to have to learn how to labor in the Spirit by grace. As an introduction, you know, when you talk about grace, most people just think of an excuse, something that covers you when you don't do what you're supposed to do. And of course, we call it unmerited favor, which indeed it is. But when you have a better understanding of the Bible, you will understand that grace is unmerited favor of God that causes Him to give us a measure of divine life and power. The reason why it is unmerited is that there is nothing you can do on this earth to earn God's life. It's not possible. That's why it's given as a gift. The scripture says that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. When we say eternal life, we do not mean existing in heaven forever with God. It includes that, but it's much deeper than that. Eternal life is the very nature and substance of God. It is the spiritual fluid that is inside God that makes God God. Now, God has a spirit body. We have a physical body. Our physical body is actually in the same shape as God's spirit body. We ourselves are spirits, and we're just wearing this physical body. And if you could cut God's body, now you can't, but the fluid, just like blood flows in our physical body, the spiritual liquid, the Bible calls it living water, that's the best way to visualize it, flows inside God. It is this thing that is life. That is what makes God God. You can't earn it. There's nothing you can do on this earth that can make you earn the life of God. That's why God has given it as a gift. And that is why it is given us unmerited favor. So when God gives us His unmerited favor, what He actually delivers is this Zoe. That's the Greek word for it, Zoe. It's called the life of God. It's called eternal life, everlasting life. Translated like that in the New Testament. In particular, the apostle, rather David, in the Old Testament, got a glimpse of this. And he gave us in Psalm 30 in verse 5, he says, in His favor is life. Put that up if you can. In His favor is life. So that favor of God gives life. In His favor. So that's where we get that from. The favor of God, this unmerited favor of God, gives you life. Now this Zoe, this life of God, is supernatural, is what makes God God. It is what God uses to make every other thing that God makes. Everything that was created from the power of God that came from the life of God. It's this fundamental. When God created Adam in the Garden of Eden, what he breathed into, he made the physical body in the shape, in the image and likeness of God, but it was an empty carcass. So God now breathed into it the breath of life. And Adam became a living soul. Now, Christianity, if it is properly understood, is to be lived by grace. It's to be lived by the continual release of this divine life by the divine favor. And all our spiritual labors, all our labors in Christ should be by this life. It should be by grace. Sadly, because of a lack of understanding, many Christians try and live the Christian life by natural, physical effort alone. And the word alone is very important. Sure, we use our natural physical abilities, but those natural physical abilities should have this grace, this divine ability superimposed upon them, so that we're no longer doing them naturally, we're now doing them supernaturally by this divine grace and life. It is the absence of this understanding and the absence of this operation in our lives that makes us find the Christian life very burdensome. We find it very difficult, and we think it's very hard and laborious. And that's why the Lord Jesus, teaching about this in Matthew chapter 11, he said, "Come unto me, all you that labor." Everybody say labor. Say labor. Labor means to work. You all who are working. "And are heavy laden." He wasn't talking to sinners. He was talking to his people. He was talking to you and I. He was talking to Christians. He was talking to the church. A lot of us are exactly like that. We're laboring. You know, when you labor and are heavy laden, we're finding the thing hard. He said, you're missing it somewhere. This is an Olubi paraphrase, but you get it, you know. You're missing it. "You come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden." He said, "I will give you rest." Then he said, "Take my yoke upon you and learn of me." Then he gives you the key. "For I am meek and lowly in heart, and you will find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light, and you will find rest unto your souls." In other words, if you will learn to labor by grace, the same yoke that you've been carrying that looks heavy, the same burden that you've been carrying that looks heavy, the same yoke that looks difficult will become easy, and the burden will become light. What will make it easy and light is the infusion of supernatural power. So when you're doing the thing by natural power without sufficient supernatural power, it's going to be heavy. You're going to find the burden heavy. You're going to find the yoke hard. And that's what I want to share with us as we enter this new year. Going forward, this year and decade, you must learn to operate everything you do. All your labor must be by grace. I'm getting ahead of myself, but I want to bring this very important point. If you learn, and it's a big if, you have to, it's a condition. If you will learn to labor by grace, you will never be proud. You've heard this, I'm sure you've heard a lot of this in the world. "I'm a self-made man." Yeah. Have you heard that before? "I'm a self-made man." And people pride themselves on it. They say, oh, this person inherited money from his father, and this one inherited, but I am a self-made man. There is no such thing. You may not realize it, but somewhere down the line, the mercy of God helps you.
Amen.
You may be unconscious of it. There is nobody on this earth who has succeeded without some other people helping him.
Amen.
Who raised those people? It's God's mercy and God's grace. How come you did something and it worked and 10 other people did it and it failed? It's not so much because you're smarter than them. Many times it's just, they call it in the world luck. There is no such thing. It's the grace and the mercy of God that's given even to the ungodly. Typified by what the Lord Jesus said when he said that God causes his son to shine on the good and the evil and his rain to come. The grace and the mercy of God is upon all his works. So you may not realize it. You may think that, you know, you're something that you're not simply because, you know, you got something. You don't realize that in the background, in the invisible background, the mercy and the grace of God was at work. And so the Apostle Paul asks you this rhetorical question. You know, Paul was writing that epistle to the Romans and the other people, but he was writing to the whole world, because he was being inspired by the Holy Spirit to write the Bible, the New Testament, to all of mankind. And he said, who art thou, O man? He said, what do you have that you did not receive? And if you received it, why boastest thou as though you did not? Now, as I know you have, that God's somewhere in the background, invisible. So you think you're self-made. You're not self-made. And when you start really thinking you're self-made, God has a way of bringing you down a notch or two. Just to let you know that, no, you're not self-made. This scripture has come to me. There's a guy in the Bible, his name is Sennacherib. How many people know him? He's an Assyrian. He was an Assyrian. I don't know where he is now. He's probably in hell. Very likely. But you know, God is kind. So I'm not going to be dogmatic on that. But I don't think he'll be. Anyway, this guy comes to Jerusalem and he begins to threaten Hezekiah. Hezekiah was a king at the time. And he tells Hezekiah that, you know, he should come and serve him. So Hezekiah sends messengers to him and says, look, you know, in fact, he gave him some money and things. But the guy was just, you know, was very recalcitrant. And then this is what he said anyway. He said, who is your God? Now, he is ignorant, very ignorant. Like a lot of people are ignorant today. And you know, when they're ignorant like that, don't get angry. Just pray for them. You know, because it's ignorance, terrible ignorance. He said, who is Hezekiah relying on? Is it not the God who he has removed his high places? He doesn't know that it was God that told Hezekiah to remove the high places, showing you the depth of his terrible ignorance. And he said, you know, Hezekiah has removed his high places, you know, misunderstanding, you know, what Hezekiah was trying to do. Then he says, have you not heard that my fathers, you know, have conquered so many nations? And he went on this tirade about how great the Assyrian Empire was and all the people that they have conquered. You know, when the prophet Isaiah replies him, he says, don't you know that before your fathers were born, I did it? Yeah, it's true, your fathers did that. But it was because I backed them to do it. See, we need to understand that God rules in the affairs of men. And that, you know, when men begin to make a lot of noise about how great they are and all of that, it's because they're ignorant of the fact that there is a God in heaven who is ruling the affairs of men. And many of all that they have done has been backed to some degree by the mercy and the grace of God. And God working out his purpose through them without violating their free will. And when it is time to bring them down, he does. The Bible says God is one that raises up kings and brings down another. And he did so for Nebuchadnezzar. So much so that this great emperor was able to make a confession of faith. He said that now I know. In other words, I didn't before. But now I know that the Most High rules in the affairs of men. And those that walk in pride, he is able to abase. He's still in that business. Amen. Yeah, I'm about to go somewhere prophetically, but I'm being cautioned. Hallelujah. I hope they're hearing in Iran. I hope they're hearing in Washington. I hope they're hearing in London. I hope they're hearing in Abuja. I hope they're hearing in Brussels. They need to really hear. No? God rules in the affairs of men. What do you have that you did not receive? Even the intelligence you have, who gave it to you? The skill you have, who gave it to you? Stop saying, I'm a self-made man. And start saying, I'm a God-made man. For that is the truth. So, the Apostle Paul says, what do we have that we did not receive? And then he brings out this fact in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and in verse 10. Let's turn there. I'm talking about laboring by grace. And I'm speaking now directly to the Christian. The born-again, spirit-filled Christian should be laboring by grace. But sadly, most of the time, we're laboring in what the Bible calls the flesh. The flesh is a very simple thing to understand. It's simply the sin nature that is in the soul and in the body. A little bit of spiritual anatomy here. When you got born again, what got born again was not your soul, it was your spirit. Now, your soul is part of your inner man, but that part of the inner man was not touched by the new birth. The new birth just recreated the inner man. But it didn't touch the soul up here. The soul is the mind, the will, and the emotions, and then you're living in a physical body. So the nature of sin was eradicated from the spirit through the cleansing of the blood of Jesus and the injection of the life of God by the Holy Spirit. But the soul, the mind, the will, and the emotions, and the physical body still have the sin nature in them. Now, many people labor by that sin nature that is in the soul and in the body. So that's when they study, when they read, it's in the mind, the will, the emotions, and in their physical body, and the things that they do. It's all, that's why we call it flesh. We're not supposed to labor with the flesh. You're supposed to labor by the Spirit. But most people don't know how. Hence this message. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 10, said, but by the grace of God, I am what I am. Everybody, let's read that again. By the grace of God, I am what I am. Stop thumping your chest and saying, I am this and I am that. You are nothing. What you are by the grace of God. And his grace, which was bestowed upon me, was not in vain. But I labored more abundantly than they all. He's talking about the other 12 apostles. Yet, you see, God had broken this man, so he knew the truth. That's why he could pen it down for us. Yet, not I, but the grace of God which was with me. Now, let's paraphrase this so that you can get the spirit behind it. Like it says in Nehemiah chapter 8, verse 8, he said, they read distinctly and then he gave them the sense. That's what I'm about to do. What is the Apostle Paul saying here? He's saying that I labored by grace. Yet not I, but the grace which was with me. I labored more than all of them, but it wasn't just me. It was me, the grace of God operating through me that caused me to labor more than them. And so as a Christian, you have to learn to do this. You labor, but you labor by the grace of God. And I'm going to show you, by the help of the Holy Spirit, how precisely to do this. What I'm going to be sharing with you is an example of what is called epignosis. It is precise, exact, complete knowledge. Now, that doesn't mean we know everything, but it just means that in that particular situation and specific area, we have complete and exact knowledge. Complete and exact knowledge doesn't mean you know everything. It just means that you have exact knowledge concerning that particular thing. And so, he said, I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God. So it was the grace of God that enabled him to labor more than all the others. This is a mystery. I don't know whether I can call it a mystery. It is a fact. It's a historical fact that I don't think we will understand fully and unravel fully until when we get to heaven. Because I'm going to sit in many of the judgment seats. It's one of the things I'd like to do when I get to heaven. There are going to be tribunals for years. Only God knows how. God, I don't know how many billions of us lived. So each day they'll say, oh, today is this guy's one. Everybody go and sit down and watch. Praise the Lord. And one I'm not going to miss is Paul's. I want to have to be there by the grace and the mercy of God. Amen. How come one man wrote 2/3 of the New Testament? The question is, what were the others doing? To make that a little bit more complicated for you, when I say complicated, it's just to stir your thinking. And the scripture says God is no respecter of persons. So what do you do with all of that? It means something must have happened. How come one man wrote 2/3 of the New Testament? One man. How come the others couldn't write more? So they said, well, they weren't called to. Don't give me that. That's dishonest. They were all called. Something must have happened. I just got another tweet from heaven. In these last, I've been a Christian for over 40 years. It'll be 40 years. It will be 41 years this year. It was 40 years in 2019. I came to understand this question, this truth of spiritual pedigree. Everybody say spiritual pedigree. Say it again. I preached a message some years ago called The Spiritual Dynasty of David. We know that in the natural, a dynasty is a line of kings that come from a particular king. So God promised David and said, look, if your children will obey me, they will not fail you a man on the throne. But we know it didn't happen. In fact, the very next king failed, Solomon. Then Jeroboam and all these other funny boys. All right? So God shifted from a natural dynasty to a spiritual one. So we have what we call a spiritual dynasty or a spiritual pedigree. Now, I'm not getting off on this because the Holy Spirit just tweeted it to me and they said, I should explain this to our people, you know, because I see a problem in the earth. I see a problem in the church. Many of us have got off track from our pedigree. And I'll tell you the reason why. And it's one of the reasons, amongst maybe others that we don't know that are obscure to us, why Paul was used so much, like God used them here, you know. He said, I labored more than they all. And God allowed him to put it in scripture. Do you know that if it was not Paul who wrote this and it was not in the Bible, we would call this man a proud man? Come on, folks. Hello. Hello. If it was not accepted into the canon of scripture, we would say Paul is extremely arrogant. Who does he think he is? The other apostles were before him, 12 of them before him, and now he's now saying that he labored more than they all. The only reason why we have accepted is because God took it into the canon of scripture and stamped it by the Holy Spirit. Amen. So we know it's true. Yes. Now, why? One of the reasons is this. Paul was faithful to the spiritual pedigree. And I'm going to tell you what the pedigree is. Because I've seen a lot of people depart from it in these last 40 years. It starts from the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus is the firstborn from the dead. Now, after Jesus was dead, he went to heaven. Then he sent the Holy Spirit into the earth. The purpose of the Holy Spirit was to teach us, give us a revelation of who Jesus was and how we are to become like him. That was why when he was on earth, he said this to them. This was in the last 24 hours of his life on the earth. He said, I've got a lot of stuff to tell you. This is an Olubi paraphrase. He said, but you can't handle it now. He said, but when the Spirit of truth is come, he will guide you, he will teach you all things, and he will guide you into all truth. Yes, yes, yes. So there were, in other words, there's a lot of stuff I want to say, but I can't say it now. You guys don't have the spiritual capacity, you don't have the spiritual intelligence, you have the spiritual knowledge to be able to handle it. But when the Holy Spirit comes, he will now break it down for you little by little and bring you into the knowledge that I want you to have. Okay? So Jesus goes to heaven. The Holy Spirit is sent into the earth. He comes on the day of Pentecost and he begins to, you know, do great miracles and all that. And also, more importantly, he begins to try and bring revelation to the church. But a lot of attitudes blocked it. In particular, let me give one example. Look at Peter. When you read, you know, you find in Acts chapter 10, Peter goes to the house of Cornelius, who was a Gentile. You know, it took a lot for God to get him there. Because of his prejudices. And you would think that someone like Peter, after walking with Jesus for those 3 years, would have known better. Because when Jesus was leaving, he gave them a commission. And that commission was not to the Jews only. He never said it. He said, tarry in Jerusalem until you'll be endued with power from on high. And when the Spirit of God is come, you'll be my witnesses. And then he said, first. He didn't say only. He said, first Jerusalem, then Judea, then Samaria, which he had told them earlier they shouldn't go to. While he was on the earth, he said, go ye to the lost sheep of the house of Israel, and into the way of the Samaritans enter ye not at that time. But at the time of his resurrection, he changed that mandate and included Samaria. But he didn't stop there. He said, and to the uttermost parts of the earth. So why then would it be a surprise for Peter to go to the house of the Gentile when the commission was to go to the uttermost parts of the earth? It was prejudice. It was pride. It was, yeah. God had to give him a vision. Let the sheet from heaven 3 times. If he had done it once, he wouldn't have been convinced. Hey, 3 times. You know, rise, Peter, kill and eat. I said, Lord, Lord, you're getting it wrong. Man, I know the law of Moses like the back of my hand. This is an Olubi paraphrase. I know the law of Moses so well. This is unclean meat. I can't. He said, nothing unclean. And he was priding himself with it. Has ever crossed my lips. I've kept the laws of, you know, the laws of diet perfectly. Come on. Lord, don't defile me. Yeah. Yeah, Lord told him. He said, what I have cleansed, don't you call common. Then he now, he didn't understand the vision, he came now. So then the guys from Cornelius came. He said, 3 men seek thee. You know what the Holy Ghost said? He said, go with them, nothing doubting. What he meant on it. Ain't a lot of us are like that. We have all these our prejudices and everything. I'm coming to spiritual pedigree. We have all these our prejudices and everything. So God had to look for a young man. His name was Saul, who was Jewish but grew up in a Gentile atmosphere. A Roman citizen of the city of Tarsus. He had to look for somebody whose mind was open, who was trained as a lawyer, who had a fine legal mind. And he found him in this zealous young Jew called Saul of Tarsus. Very zealous, wrongly so, but he was doing it as it's the best that he understood. Like mommy was saying of Kabesi, he will use the light that he had. Just, he didn't understand a lot of other, but the one that he had, he used it well. So this young man, God does a lot of things, you know, knocks him off his high horse, praise the Lord. Literally, you know, gives him a vision and gives him a revelation. And then he now, you know, tells him, I am Jesus whom you are persecuting, gets him born again, gets him filled with the Holy Spirit. Then he isolates him from the crowd in Jerusalem, James, Peter, John, and takes him to Arabia for 14 years and then gives him revelation. And you know what this young man says? He said that the gospel I preach, he said, I was not taught it of man. He said, but I received it by, everybody shouted, of Jesus Christ. He understood it so well, he understood it more than the people who were walking with Jesus. Because when Peter came to Antioch and refused to eat with the Gentiles, Paul withstood him to the face and said, you don't understand. It is not eating, ceremonial eating, that makes us righteous. This is a little big paraphrase. It's not ceremonial eating that makes us righteous. We are made righteous by faith in Jesus Christ and the cleansing of his blood and his sacrifice on the cross. What we eat or we don't eat, whether we eat with Gentiles, that doesn't make it. And so we should not be separated from the Gentiles because of that. If I start destroying the things that I built up, I make myself a transgressor. The man understood it. You know why? He followed the pedigree. It was not the revelation of Paul. It was the revelation of Jesus Christ. Now, this is the pedigree. Listen carefully. Jesus, Paul, and all those who follow Paul. That is why, if you want to get into the pedigree, onto this dynasty, you have to start praying the same prayer Paul prayed. For hundreds of years, many people were just going their own direction, doing all kinds of things. Then, about 200 years ago, 150 years ago, there was a man called E.W. Kenyon. I'm sure there were others before him, but at least the one I know. And then the Wesley brothers, too, to some degree, you know. And they prayed the Pauline prayer. Went to what that prayer, God, give me the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the eyes of my understanding being enlightened. If you don't keen to that, you miss the pedigree. You miss the pedigree. And you say a lot of Christians are like that. They don't have this revelation of Jesus and his sacrifice and how he was raised from the dead and the resurrection life and how he comes into us, you know, because the revelation of the hope of our calling, the riches of the glory of his inheritance, says the exceeding greatness of his resurrection power. So you and I are supposed to plug into that pedigree. Being a pastor for all these 35 years and Christian for over 40 years, I see that a lot of Christians are not in the pedigree. Not because they're not destined to, but they don't just plug in. They don't pray those Pauline prayers. They don't even believe them. They just think they just, you know,
You know why? The prolonged prayers, how is that going to bless me? It doesn't seem to hold any. So you find that the prayers they pray are all these prayers of healing and, you know, but you don't find them going to pray for spirit of wisdom and revelation. So they don't get the revelation, watch this, the revelation of Jesus Christ, which is the revelation that Paul got, which is the revelation that he used to write the New Testament. It is from that revelation point of view that Paul is speaking. He says, I labored more than they all, but not me, but the grace of God which was with me. In other words, I'm getting divine life from God. It is that divine life, that the power that comes from it, that I'm doing all the things that I am doing. He said in another way in the book of Galatians, he said, nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. The man understood it. And so you need, I have been crucified with Christ, yet I live, yet not I, but Christ that liveth in me. So there are three labors, three major areas of labor we are to labor as Christians with this life of God, and they are sequential. Listen to me carefully. It's going to matter in 2020 and the decade that is unfolding. They are sequential. In other words, one comes after the other. And I'm going to show it to you from the scriptures. I, by the grace of God, not me, you know, not just me. I'm following exactly Paul's pattern. I, yet not I, but the grace of God which is in, is what I'm using to share with you. I speak by revelation. I'm not speaking by natural human thinking. I'm speaking by revelation, and therefore I also, by the grace and the mercy of God, speak by authority. Listen to me. You labor in three areas. One, prayer. And that's the most important one. All of them are important. Don't let me see. But that's the first one. Epaphras. Chapter 4, verse 12 of Colossians. He said, Epaphras, laboring fervently for you in what? This labor in prayer is what majority of Christians don't do. They pray, but they don't labor in prayer. You know the kind of prayer they pray? That's why that checklist I sent to you the other day, you know, the perils of prayerlessness. One of the things that was said in that checklist was that praying without faith is prayerlessness. The man said it in that song. And he said a lot of other good things, but I don't want to digress in that. Yeah, you know what Jesus called it? He said, don't be like the Gentiles who he called it vain repetition, thinking that they will be heard for their much speaking. You know how the average Christian prays? He doesn't pray, he doesn't labor in prayer. He prays based on human thinking and emotion, thinking that the more he tells God about how serious his problem is, and the more he cries, and the more he whips up emotion, it will move God. It doesn't work. He's not telling God. There was something that happened many years ago. You know, this many years ago. You know, my wife and I, when somebody's mother was sick, you know, and these people came to pray from one church. I won't mention the name. So the man gets there. You know, it's all these, you know, white garment churches. So they get there and want to pray for the woman. You know, and they start saying, Oluwa, sokalewa. Sokalewa, sokalewa, sokalewa. Sokalewa, sokalewa, sokalewa. Oluwa, sokalewa. In our language, that means God, come down. God, come down, come down, come down. Oh God, come down. And my wife and I were there. You know, okay, I didn't laugh. I didn't, you know. But inside, I almost started laughing. And he was sincere. This guy was, you know, he was zealous. He thought that by talking to God like that, God had no choice but to come down. That's exactly what Jesus said. Vain repetition. And they think that therefore much speaking, they will be heard. He says, therefore, don't pray like them. He said, after this manner, pray. Our Father, which art in heaven, worship. Hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom, that's a loaded statement. Enforce the kingdom. He didn't use that word, but that's what he means. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on the earth. In other words, the consequence of the kingdom coming is that the will of God will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Because the kingdom is the dominion. It is bringing, enforcing God's dominion. He wasn't just talking about just saying that, repeating that thing like a parrot. He was talking about the principles. I preached a message many years ago. It's in our weekly Rhema. You find it called the Spirit of the Lord's Prayer. It's there. It's not the letter of the Lord's Prayer, the spirit of it. How do you say, thy kingdom come and thy will be done? You pray in the spirit, you travail, you release the power of God. There you enforce the kingdom. Then the will of God will be done on earth as it is in heaven. There's no way they weren't baptized in the Holy Spirit yet. Jesus couldn't start telling them, you're going to speak in tongues. He just said, start with this. You start with this. Just, you know, pray this simple. When you pray it like this, as you pray, when the Holy Spirit comes, he said, there are many things I want to tell you. He said, he will now begin to unravel it. That's what Paul did. Amen. Give the Apostle Paul a clap of it. So number one area of laboring is in prayer. Laboring in prayer, which involves speaking God's word, praying in tongues, praying with travail. That's why the man writes a whole discourse on prayer in Ephesians chapter 6. And he says, take unto you the whole armor of God. He's talking by revelation. I don't want to go into all of it. You know, all the different aspects of the armor, the breastplate of righteousness, the helmet of salvation, you know, all different aspects of the love of God. See, all that was just unraveled to us in the last few years. But he's talking about love. Because God is love. So the armor of love has to be the armor of God has to be the armor of love. It's clear revelation. He says, after you've done it all and you put the whole armor on, he says, now take the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. That's how you labor in prayer. Amen. Not just vain repetition and trying to move God by your human intelligence and your human thinking and your human emotions. Let me move quickly. The next thing, you labor in the word. Look at 1 Timothy chapter 5. I believe it's verse 20. Thank you. It's verse 17. Thank you. Let the elders... I didn't hear you, folks. Am I talking to anybody here? That rule well, be counted worthy of double honor. He's talking about money there, but don't let's go there. Praise the Lord. Amen. Amen. He's talking about money. Especially those who labor where? And in? How many people know that studying of the Bible is labor? Unless you don't do it. And that's why many Christians don't do it. Do you know that it is easier to just be praying in tongues and not read your Bible? I mean, hello, give me a wave offering. But the purpose of labor in the prayer is to release life and light so that the labor in the word will be effective. That's why they are sequential. Observe, Acts chapter 6, verse 4. He said that don't
We can't go and start serving tables. We can't, you know, the true pastors don't have time to go and start serving tables. The Lord says tables should not be served. But you get people who will assist him to. That's why we have deacons. Yeah, but the pastor, the true shepherd, he must lay down his life. He said that we might give ourselves occasionally.
Continually
unto what? Prayer. Notice the order. And the ministry of the word. The word does not come before prayer. The prayer comes before the word. Because the word cannot be effectively ministered if there is not a background of prayer. That is why the teaching and the preaching of many pastors are shallow. There is no prayer. Then they want to come and minister the word. What is he going to say? Head knowledge. He's just going to speak from his mind, or like some pastors do, when it's Saturday night, I'll go on the internet and I'll find out one message I can download. And they come and preach that on Sunday. He has forgotten the parable. There's a parable. I'm speaking by the Spirit and I'm giving it to the pastors who are listening now. You know, this parable is applicable to you. You need to change your attitudes and change your methods. Stop trying to poach messages. That's not saying you shouldn't listen to other people. You can listen and learn from other people. That's fine. But you have to pray yourself. And then God will now take what other people have said and add it to what God's given you and then enlighten you. Are you listening to me? And the parable is says, he said, who then is that faithful and wise steward? Whom he has set ruler over his house. Those are pastors. He said, blessed is that servant who is giving to the people their portion in due season. Like this kind of message I'm giving you now. I didn't just pick it out of a hat. It's for today. It's for now. It's for this season. He said, but what an if that wicked servant begin to say in his heart, my Lord delayeth his coming. Watch this. And he begins to eat and drink with the drunken. That's Babylon. Revelation chapter 17. Babylon is drunk with the wine of the saints, of the blood of the saints. And he begins to beat the men servants and hit them on the head. He said, the Lord will come in a day and an hour where he looketh not for him. And he will cut him asunder and assign his portion with the hypocrites. And there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. But the other good pastor, who is giving them their meat in due season, said he will make him ruler over everything that he has. Notice, he didn't mention Pastor Olubi, or Pastor Sarah, or Pastor X, or Pastor Y. He just put the general principle out there. Like I always say, God never, never, never predestinates individuals. He just predestinates conditions. You know, and then people who fulfill the conditions get predestinated. That's why he said, who then is that wise and faithful servant? So the next area is laboring in the word. Read your Bible every day. The other day I was Jack cracking a joke with some of the pastors. I said, you know, I happen to read my Bible every day. I'm not asking you to do what I don't do. I read from New Testament, Old Testament, Proverbs, Psalms, and the Gospel. I do it every day. Where do you think I get all these things from? Where do you think I get them from? This message I'm giving you, where do you think I got it from? Bible reading. He says, I read my Bible, the Holy Spirit will now. Then he now put flesh around it and develop it and say, this is what you need to feed the people now. If I don't read my Bible every day, where will I get what I'm going to give you? It's just like in the natural. A woman can only breastfeed her children properly if she's eating properly. If she's not eating properly, how will she have the nutrition to be able to produce good breast milk to be able to feed the baby? Spiritually, it's the same thing. If the man of God himself is not feeding on the word, how can he find something, nutrition, to bring to the people? Yesterday, to the glory of God, and I say this, and I've been instructed to, you know, and allowed to say it. I was praying, because we're all fasting and praying.
You know, I prayed for about, to the glory of God, you know, maybe about 8 hours. Aside from 5 o'clock in the morning. Then I prayed until about maybe 10. Then I slept a little bit, about 1 or 2 hours. Then I got up in the afternoon and I prayed again until about 8 o'clock at night. Praying the Spirit, one phase after the other. Draw life, clean with the blood, pray in tongues for an hour. Then I do another one for different things. Pray for my wife, pray for children, I was praying for the services today. You know, I also was writing the weekly Rhema. You know, it took me 4 or 5 hours to write it. One article. Because it's not mental. It's revelation. I had the skeleton. So I go to scripture. As I am typing, revelation is coming. Don't say this, say that. This is the scripture that is relevant here. This is the link you should use here. Then I will wait. I will pray. I will read through again. I get another instruction. Don't say it like this. Don't say it like that. It's labor. It takes time. It takes discipline. I have to jump. I'll go from Hebrews to Revelation, from that to Ezekiel, from that to Genesis and Nehemiah, and bring this and bring that and bring that. And I'll get one and say, this one doesn't fit. Don't put that one there, because it must rightly divide. It's labor. You must learn to labor in the Word. Start with reading your Bible every day. That's the foundation. As you read your Bible every day after prayer, then you will be reading with revelation. So as you're reading, maybe it's Proverbs, you're just reading something, you read 2-3 verses, you'll get one like, pass! So just jump out of the Bible. You quickly have your Bible with you. Always. I have a prayer diary. I've been keeping it since 1981. To the glory of God. I still have it. Because if I don't write it down, because it's not me, I will forget. I preached a message some years ago called Capturing God's Thoughts. When that thought, I just capture it and quickly write it down. Otherwise, if it flies and I may not be able to get it again. That's laboring in the Word. Then the last labor is laboring in love. The Bible talks about your labor of love. I don't know if I'm helping anybody here. It's in 1 Thessalonians chapter 3. I believe it's verse... it's on my notes. I have to quickly go up and check my notes. It's 1 Thessalonians... Thank you, Jesus. It's chapter 1, verse 3. 1 Thessalonians, yes. Everybody read with me. Say, remembering without ceasing your work of faith and what? Everybody say, labor in prayer, labor in the Word, and labor in love. How does that work out? What is laboring in love? Is working to walk in love, sacrificial giving. People say, if any man has this world's good and see his brother in need and shuts up his bowels of compassion, he say, how dwelleth? No, it's not active, it's there, but it's dormant. How dwelleth the love of God in him? He said, my brethren, let us not love in word and in tongue, but in deed and in truth. That's labor. Sacrificial giving. Acts of mercy, acts of kindness by the fruit of the Spirit, which I taught last year. By the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace that are imprinting on your mind, your will, and your emotions, and your physical body. You'll be able to now, but you labor. Notice all these labors are by grace. It's grace that gives life.
that helps you to pray fervently. It's grace that gives life, that gives you light as you read the Bible. It's grace that gives life, that enables you to walk in love, to be kind to the undeserving. The wicked, and still show them kindness, so that you might be like your Father which is in heaven. It takes, you can't do it without grace. It's grace that causes you to endure longer, to be patient and kind. It's grace that makes you say, Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing. Recently, there was an event, something happened, my wife and I. And I told my wife, when we left the place, I said, they don't know what they're doing. And really, they didn't know. So we forgave the people. It's all over. They do understand. If they understood, they wouldn't do it. If they knew Jesus was the Son of God, would they nail him to a cross? The same thing with us as pastors. People don't know who we are in the spirit. So they open their mouths against the heavens and talk anyhow. Despise dominion. They don't understand, so you forgive them. That's how God is. And next time you relate to them as if it never happened. It takes spiritual power to do it. To work on your emotions. To work on your pride that has been hurt. To work on your emotions that have been hurt. You can't do that labor in the flesh. It's only by grace. I'm going to close. So, we are to labor. Everybody say, labor by grace in prayer. Labor by grace in the word. Labor by grace in love. I put something in my notes I didn't mention. Where you labor in love, you also, you, apart from things, giving people things, you know, you give people time. How many know that time is a sacrifice? Time! That's why my wife and I came to thank you for coming to Ijebu. Do you know how long it takes to go to Ijebu? The road is not the best expressway in the world. Hello? It's inconvenient. You gave, not only did you give money, you gave your time, you gave energy. Is strength. We want to go. If I want to go to Lagos now, because somebody, I have to go and see somebody. It's a labor of love. Because the expressway is not the most attractive place to go to, because of the traffic and all of that, and then the inconvenience for your body to sit inside the car. You know, it's a labor. All of those things mean a lot to God. Are you listening to me? It's a labor of love. It's a labor of love. Now, watch this. It is the labor in prayer. Thank you, Jesus. That will bring the light of revelation, that will make the labor in the word effective. It is the labor in the word that will make the labor in love effective. Because the primary aspect of love is wisdom. And you only get wisdom from God's word. The reason why a lot of people are finding the yoke heavy and the burden the yoke to be heavy and the work to be hard is that sometimes they're doing what God even asked them to do, because they don't have the wisdom of God. You know, there's a time not to do some things. Look, Proverbs chapter 2, verse 6. It says, out of his mouth cometh wisdom and knowledge and understanding. That's why you need to read your Bible. No, I'm getting ahead of myself. Watch this. See, there are two things the Word of God gives you. Two primary things. The Word of God, reading God's Word and studying God's Word, you know, gives you. Number one is life. The Bible says that these exceeding great precious promises, that by these you may be what? Partakers of the divine nature. But it's not life only. You also need wisdom. That's why you can't just use life scriptures. Life scriptures are very important, but in their place. But you have to read the whole Bible so you can understand how God thinks. You can't get that just by using life scriptures alone. You have to read the Bible yourself. As you read the Bible, you begin to understand when you read the different stories and narrations, you begin to get how God behaved here. Then when you are faced in a similar situation, you will remember. The Holy Spirit will put you into remembrance and say, this is the wisdom of God of how to deal with that situation. Are you listening to me? You need to read your Bible every day. Now we give you wisdom to walk in love. That's why I say it's sequential. See, if the labor in prayer is not there, the labor in the word will not be effective. If the labor in the word is not effective, the labor in love will not be effective. You will be doing a lot of some things that may look good humanly, but have no divine approval. That is why the great apostle, writing by revelation on the love of God, says that if I give all my goods to the poor, and I even give my body to be burned. He said, if I have not love. So it is possible to do those things and not have love. Divine love. He said, it profits me nothing. No divine approval. No reward. So you find people, going to Mount Kilimanjaro, going to the Malias, all kinds of funny things, and God didn't send them. That's why it has to be by grace. Grace, everybody say grace.
Grace
will give life.
Life
will give light.
Life
will give power.
Power.
So grace will give life.
Life
will give power to pray effectually and fervently prayers that will avail much. Grace will give life, which will give light that will cause the reading and the study of the Word of God to be effective. In His light, you will see light. See, you can read the Bible without light. It's just an intellectual exercise. There are a lot of professors of theology who know the whole Bible and don't know anything God said. I, by the grace and the mercy of God who are speaking to you, I never went to Bible school. I'm not an ordained minister. I don't have ordination papers. I'm being honest. Yeah, I never went to any Bible school. I have not been ordained. I didn't go anywhere for them to lay hands on me and pray for me. I'm spirit taught. Say, how did I get it? Grace. 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 I just followed my spiritual fathers. Some of them I never even met them. I only came to Hagen twice, and that was just a casual meeting. I never knew him one-on-one. Never met Kenneth Copeland. Never met EWK, and they're all dead anyway. The only person I met a little bit here was Pius Gelson, and then later on Ralph Martin and Kelly Verner, Spirit taught. Just it can be done. I don't think I'm doing too badly. To the glory of God. Unmerited favor. Grace. 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 Say, how can you pray for 8 hours? Grace. Grace. Lest any man should boast. See, I can't boast. I can't come and start bragging. I did this, I did that. I yet not I. Amen. But the grace of God which is with me. Amen. I got to close. I don't know if I've helped you this afternoon. But I believe I have. It's a great way to enter 2020. Rewards of more grace. As you labor in these things, you will get more grace, which will give you greater measures of life, which will give greater power, greater light. And then you will enjoy the rewards not only in this life, not only in the world to come, but also in this life. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 3. I believe this is verse 8. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 8. Hello? 1 Corinthians chapter 3, and look at verse 8. Right. See, when you labor by grace, you are rewarded. Now, he that planteth, I didn't hear you. And he that watereth, are what? And every man shall receive his own reward according to what? So the labor is not in vain. Turn to your neighbor and say, our labor in the Lord is not in vain. We're rewarded. And not just when we get to heaven. There are rewards in this life. Mark chapter 10, verses 28 and 29. He said, there is no man that has given anything up. He said, in this lifetime, he will receive what? A hundredfold. 1 Timothy chapter 4. He says, godliness is profitable unto all things, having the promise of the life that now is, and of that which is to come. So you have a great motivation to labor. You're going to reward it here. Amen. And there.
Amen.
God have a double glory. You get the glory here, and then you get the glory there. Man, what a deal. Talk about win-win. It's a great life. This is the greatest life there is. I don't know why people are wasting their time. Because they don't know. They don't know. That's our job. To become a signpost.
Amen.
I like what my wife calls it recently, a lighthouse. So when their ships are approaching a border, a harbor, they see the lighthouse. So they say, ah, don't go there. There are rocks there. This is where you should come. When you begin to live the Christian life the way you become a lighthouse, then other people start coming to want to be like you. And they say, surely God is indeed. Three things. The blood. I said the blood. I'm just going to race through this in 5 minutes. The blood. Now, we have to understand this about the blood. People don't understand this. And this again, I'm giving you epignosis. I'm giving you precise, exact, complete knowledge in concerning these things. Talking about laboring by grace. How you use the blood to clean your heart, cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now, the thing about this blood thing is this, that has not been emphasized, but I want to emphasize it today as instructed by the Holy Spirit, is that the cleansing of the blood is predicated on honesty of heart. If we say we have no sin, let me go a step further. If we think we have no sin. He said the truth is not in us. Look at it. Notice the cleansing of the blood is not automatic. Everything about the cleansing of the blood is conditional. 1 John chapter 1, verses 7 through 10. You will find this is what it says. You know, you'll be put on the board as I'm speaking because of time. You will find that it says, if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, he said, the blood of Jesus is cleansing. In other words, the blood will not cleanse if I'm not walking in the light. Correct. If you can't say amen, say oh me. What does that mean? I'm being honest. You know, the light I have received, oh, I'm not doing it properly, or this has not, oh God, I'm sorry. Then the blood cleanses. But I'm foolhardy, and I'm presumptuous, and I say, oh, I'm okay, oh, I have no sin. Then the blood won't cleanse anything, and the truth will not abide in you. Check it. If we walk in the light, as he's in the light, we have fellowship with one another, the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. Next verse. Hallelujah. If we say, look at, it's if. Here's so tough for our Bible. Then you see these people trying to sprinkle the blood on everything. Oh, God. Sprinkle it on the expressway, sprinkle it on the car, and he's not doing anything about the sin in his heart. One of the reasons for the misuse of the blood of Jesus is dishonesty of heart. They are trying to get the benefit without fulfilling the condition. And use it like a talisman. The blood!
Ah, you've heard that before? As if just by screaming the blood, you know, we soak you in the blood. Where did you get that from? It's not in the Bible. You don't soak anybody in the blood of Jesus. You sprinkle the blood of Jesus upon people's consciences to clean it. Where did we get all this stuff from? You know, the reason why God had mercy on me and helped me is because right from when I got born again, I was very skeptical about Christians. I'm being honest. Before I became a Christian, I was a young man in UI here. I was 15, 16, 17, 18. I graduated at 19. You know, I used to look at the Christians. I had one Christian friend who was very good, you know, who was an honest, upright guy. But some of the others, I said, this is a bunch of clowns. You know, I said, they're not honest. I was very, you know, pragmatic, you know, and I wasn't big nasty. I remember some of them telling me I'm going to go to hell and everything. I just looked at them. I said, I'm not a Christian yet. I said, but if I ever become one, I'll never be like you guys. And I walked off and didn't go to hell. Here I am. I didn't go to hell. I told them. I said, if I ever become one, I wasn't a Christian at the time. You know, I tell them I was going to hell and all that. They preached to me. I didn't listen and all that. I said, I'm not a Christian yet. And I used the word, it was prophetic. I didn't know. I was just a young boy. I didn't know anything. You know, I wasn't born again or anything like that. You know, I just said, I'm not a Christian yet, but if I ever become one, I won't be like you guys. And I walked off. God ticked it. That's right. I was right. Be honest. Read the Bible with your head. Be honest. If we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. Next verse. If we confess our sins, he is what? Faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. How? He had already told you in verse 7, the blood of Jesus Christ cleanseth us from all sin. So, though he didn't mention the blood in verse 9, he implies the blood in verse 9 from what he had said in verse 7. Come on, folks. Let's read this book with an honest heart and we will go far. The problem is that we try and squeeze it and twist it to fit our theology. Next verse. If we say we have not sinned, notice if that is why the blood is not cleansing a lot of Christians. They are dishonest. They say they have not sinned. They don't admit. You know, one thing that helped me with this thing was years ago, many, many years ago, Pastor Boyga was there, my wife was there. You know, when we started doing all these prayer schools and prayer teachings, you know, I broke sin down. Because you see, the understanding of sin is adultery, fornication, you know, and murder and some terrible things. And God said, those are the very obvious ones. He said, what are you going to do with whatsoever is not of faith is sin? What are you going to do with he that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin? What are you going to do with the thought of foolishness is sin? When you break it down, out like we find out we're sinning all the time. That's why I need that constant cleansing of the blood. And the more I cleanse the blood, then the frequency and the of my sins begins to drop. I found it by experience. Be honest! Stop putting the blood on the expressway. It doesn't need cleansing. It's your heart that needs it. I know what you're trying to do. You're trying to get protection. And you will get the protection. Clean your heart with the blood. Life of God will enter. Speak God's word. The angels, sorry Pastor G, the angels will protect you on the expressway. We're trying to get through the back door. What we should get direct, you know, what we should get through the word. And it's become a tradition and a stronghold. I don't say this to be judgmental or you know controversial. It's the truth. Use the
Use the blood to clean your heart. When your heart is clean, when you speak God's word, when the enemy shall come in like a flood, the Spirit of God will raise a standard against him. And the angels will police the entire expressway from you, and dare any devil touch your car. Give the Lord a clap offering. Dare any devil touch your car. That's not how to use the blood. The using of the blood requires humility. Confess my sins. I have not walked in the light as I should, Lord. Have mercy on me. Help me. Then the blood works. Have I helped anybody here?
Yes.
The next thing is the word. I mentioned that already. Use the word to draw life. Then you use the word to get wisdom. That's why you need to read your Bible. Drawing life is not enough. I am one of the proponents of life scriptures. So this is my turf. Praise the Lord. I yet not I, but the grace of God which is with me. God taught me life scriptures independently. Then I also learned from F.F. Bosworth, E.W. Kenyon, and others. You know, I got the foundation from Kenneth Hagin and E.W. Kenyon. But the application of life scriptures, I was taught by the Spirit of God. And then I discovered other people have been doing the same thing. You know, but as important as life scriptures are, you can't do life scriptures alone. You won't know God. Because the way God thinks is not in life scriptures alone. It's inside all the narrations inside the Bible. The last scriptures give you life and light, so you will now understand the. I'm giving you epignosis. It's the Spirit. The Word and the Spirit receive life. Life will give power. My wife and the pastors, you see them pray. They, you know, in our house, they get up at 3:45. 3:30. And they will pray until 7:30. Every day, including Christmas Day. How? Grace. It's grace. Grace gives life. Life gives power. Power gives enablement. Try it in the natural and you will faint. You can't. It's not wonder the Bible says, without faith it is impossible. It can't be done. You can't. This kind of life we live, you cannot live it in the natural. The natural body and the natural something cannot handle it. It has to be done supernaturally by grace. Stand to your feet. It's by grace. Laboring by grace. It's important. Instructional message. It's prophetic in a sense, but it's not prophetic because someone can start doing now. You want rewards? See, all the things we're going to experience in this third day, this double glory, this ability of the mind of Christ, the glory of power, the glory of wisdom, are going to be rewards of laboring by grace. That's why God had me come and break it down. Labor by grace. Even your work, your academic work, your secular work, you do it by grace. Grace brings life. Life will bring power. Life will bring light and enablement. Then you watch this. And Dr. Williams, this is for you. Prof. Karade, is this for you? You know, all our engineers, Brother Deshola, Brother Okore, this is for you. Deji, this is for all of you guys. All the guys who are working in the secular field. You will do in 1 hour what it takes other people 12 hours to do. Why not? You know what? You're not operating at their level. You're operating by grace. They will labor and labor and labor and labor and labor. They may labor for 3 months. You will labor for a week. And you will get a better result than they did for 3 months. God will give you favor with men. They will not, you don't know anybody there. You didn't bribe anybody. They will think maybe because you know somebody. It's just grace. God would have gone ahead of you. Angels would have gone ahead of you. When you arrive, doors will open that otherwise will be closed. Because it is by grace. This is going to be a great year for you. A year of quantum leaps by grace. Jumping forbidden energy gaps by grace. We're about to see the most successful set of Christians Amen. That the world has ever seen.
Amen.
We haven't started yet. You haven't started yet. All the things you are doing now are just preliminary runs. Your greatest days are ahead of you.
Amen.
The glory of God is ahead of you.
Amen.
Labor by grace. Let's talk to God. Hallelujah. Talk to God. Labor by grace.
You are the peace that guards my heart.
My help in time of need.
You are the hope that leads me on
and brings me to my knees. Yes, Lord, for here I find you waiting. And here I find relief. So with all my heart,
all my heart, I worship.
And unto you I say,
Lord, you alone deserve all glory.
Lord,
you alone deserve all praise.
The peace that guards my heart,
my help
in time of need. Glory to God. Confess our sins so we clean with the blood from all unrighteousness. In Jesus' name we have life. Lord, have mercy on us as we pray. So receive your power in sufficient measure as we pray. Father, I thank you for your word. that I have heard this morning, this afternoon, I receive it. Not as the word of man, but as it truly is the word of God. And henceforth, by your mercy and grace, I will only labor by grace. No longer will I labor in the flesh. I will labor by grace. Daily. In everything I do, it will be your grace that will bring me life and power, that will bring me light. And it is by that that I will labor. And therefore, I will find the yoke easy and I will find the burden light. Oh God, have mercy on me. Help me to be faithful to this commitment to labor only by grace. In Jesus' name. Nekatolo moshtofre deklamashtofre. Zifridi ilama shelingar dofrinest. Leprininga toske frerenga. Leprinet tuske fridist. Zifrede. Zekito fredengesk. Lombridi atoske. Mercy, Lord. Labradelamatolo moshtofre. Daglamatolo moshalaka glamatolo moshtofre. Lembridia tofrene. Father, mercy, declamatulum to fres. Lombre gamasholo moshelas. Lopridiliesk, tofriningaras. Dolaminga tofrines. Dolomentufrines. Dolomentufrede gamas. Zikitufridelas. No friningish gafresk. In Jesus' name. As I was praying, I received the word, and I'm going to act on it. All professionals. Academic, engineering, law, financial, if you're a professional in this church, God wants me to pray a special prayer for you. All professionals, come out, if you can. I know many of us qualify to that. Mommy, join me up here. Mommy, you join me up here. There's a grace on my wife. You are going to operate in a new level of grace. 2020 and the decade coming. I thought this would happen. It's okay, you know. The important thing is to operate, you know, to respond in faith. Because there's no way I can lay hands on anybody, everybody, and I'm not going to attempt to. Now, what I want you to do is raise your hand and touch your heart. I know I've prayed generally for the church, but this is a special prayer for professionals. For a new level of grace. Now you understand. Good morning, Jesus, is not for decoration. Early morning prayer is not for decoration. Don't say, I don't have time. Because you are cutting off your source of grace. All the things you're going to do for success are dependent on the grace of God. Otherwise, you'll be laboring at the same level as the unbeliever. And the stacks are heaped against you. You've got to move to a supernatural, a quantum leap. Amen. To a higher level of operation. Amen. If you can, join hands. Mommy, I want you to join Pastor Rhoda's hand there. And then Mommy's joined to me. I want everybody here connected in the spirit. It's a physical connection, but there's a spiritual connection. Good. Make sure you're connected. You're touching somebody who's touching somebody who's touching somebody who's touching somebody who's now touching us so we can pray. The only practical way I can pray for all of us. The word just came to me. The word I heard was like the professionals. Certainly. Let me give you the mic. Mommy has a word she'd like to share if I pray.
I just want to thank you. For 2,000 years, the Lord was hungry. And a virgin will come.
4,000.
Hmm. could birth the Christ. And he sent angel Gabriel to the house of that woman, whom we now know is Mary, the mother of the Lord Jesus Christ.
The Holy Mother.
Brethren, in this season of this quantum leaps, again, the Holy Spirit is hovering. Hovering for mantles to be dropped upon people, for batons to be given. Prepare ourselves. Mantles, batons are going to be dropped. But we have to prepare ourselves so that when the conditions are fulfilled, the Lord Himself will place the baton upon us and grant us great grace to run with it. How do I know? 10 years ago, when I was just about 50, Papa Ralph prophesied. Then suddenly God began to tell me that the time and the season of the thing is around the corner. And then suddenly the Lord spoke. He said, I and the sons that I have given unto you are for signs and wonders in Israel. Then suddenly he did it spiritually. And then suddenly when it came to the season of my father, I was looking. God, this is a special prophetic outing. Who do I call? The person that did that event planning had never done event planning before. She did not even know she had it in her. The season is here. Now I was just praying. Brethren, I'm telling you because you should know. See, I do not have control on who that baton falls upon. But I have control in telling you to prepare yourself. Now I was praying and praying. I have done by His grace. We've done events before. And we have event planners. But they did not qualify. Because this was a prophetic outing. And I was praying and the Lord mentioned the name of this lady. But I said, God, how? You know something? It was her two things that attracted me. First of all, was her humility. Something changed about that woman. I didn't know what it was. So it's not about us, it's about God. So you know the outing is God. I'm just trying to tell you that what pastor said. I didn't tell him. I was just in that chair. I was even feeling very tired. I was confessing. But this thing I'm saying to you is really God. Because pastor picked something and it's because there's a hovering going on.
Absolutely.
There's a hovering going on. And God is looking for Marys again to birth the Christ. Both secularly and spiritually. And that woman, she would just come to pass. No matter how big the events are, once we enter the event, she's not a member of this church. She will come and take her orders. This is the woman who is very successful. So they're wondering, what is it about this woman? If she missed her order and said someone, she will come and pack her plates.
Personally.
I could not understand it. I just knew something, her mien, her countenance, even her whole look, even everything about her had changed. I didn't look for her, it was in the place of prayer. God said, go to this woman, and God gave me a word for her, that tell her this and tell her that. Now, her whole career was at risk, because she was a very successful woman. So if she had taken my word, and something had happened, that was her career down the lane. Look, because that thing was not a small thing. It was something that exposed her to the whole world. But she believed. And then when she came one day, this is where I'm going to. I like to test people's So she came to see me and we were talking. Then I said, pray. YBC was there. She was using the same words that we normally use in Good Morning Jesus. She was using the same phrases in Good Morning Jesus. I said to YBC, I said, throw Zoom to her. She said, Mommy, don't throw Zoom to me. I'm already in there. She said, I hear your voice every morning. She said, right from the beginning when it happened, Sister Lola, they threw this thing to me. And I've been there all day. And if I miss it, I know something has gone out of me. See, there are children that are feeding from our spirit that are not here. So she had
sheep not of this fold.
She had connected
in the spirit.
Her spirit had changed. And everybody knew that woman had changed. It was no words. So when God was looking for someone, the baton fell on her. Do you know how many people have been asking me for that lady's number? From that event that she did. Do you know, if you're talking about quantum leaps, that is what happened to that lady. Because all of a sudden, people who were her seniors in the industry, she now became their leader. And she now became to direct. She began to direct. I said, follow me, girl. I want to tell you something. It's not about Sarah. It's because there are batons that need to be dropped. And there's so much, and there's so many more buttons that needs to be dropped. Stay there. You know, we said we will be known for prayer. We will also be known for prosperity. The season is here. That prayer thing now is global. Now prosperity is about to be global. Stay. See, God is the one who knows who he's going to put that thing on. It hasn't got to do with pastor. Why? But if you fulfill, God himself will put the pattern on us and put the grace upon us to run and to obtain. And Lord will have mercy upon us in Jesus.
Say, Lord, have mercy on us to receive your blood, to cleanse us from all unrighteousness, your life and your power in sufficient measure as we pray. I will pray understanding and then we'll pray in the spirit together. Listen carefully and key your faith in. Heavenly Father, I come to pray for everyone that I am in contact with by the Spirit through the joining of hands now. And those who may be watching on television or on YouTube who will stretch forth their hands towards their screens, Lord, we include them in this prayer.
Amen.
Father, we come to release a fresh, new measure of grace into everyone I am in contact with right now.
Amen.
That will take them to a higher level of operation.
Amen.
In their different endeavors.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
They will cross forbidden gaps.
Amen.
They will move out of places of confinement.
Amen.
Places of conduction.
Amen.
Where they will begin to succeed at have never succeeded before.
Amen.
Things they have been afraid to do before, they will do now boldly.
Amen.
They will excel.
Amen.
They will prosper.
Amen.
And it will be seen that it is God who is prospering them.
Amen.
Like you prospered Joseph in the house of Potiphar. And Potiphar recognized that it was because of Joseph his house prospered. Wherever they are, they will prosper. And the unbelievers that are around them will recognize that the prosperity has come through them. And they will obtain your favor. Favor with you. Favor with men. Even their enemies will become at peace with them. Lord God, and will take them. You will take them to a higher level that they have never imagined. Things they have thought, oh, I can't do this. Oh, this is too big for me. Oh, I can never get here. They will get there. Not by might, not by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord. I will release upon you greater and greater measures of grace. It will not just be one measure, it will be multiplied grace. The grace will continue to multiply. And as it multiplies, you will continue to quantum leap from one level to another, crossing one forbidden gap to another forbidden gap, to another forbidden gap, to another forbidden gap, until there are no more forbidden gaps.
For the sky will not be your limit. My throne will be your limit, saith the Spirit. Nekatoshke frenengala. Leprinikatoshke frenengas. Mercy. Mercy, Lord. Ramatushke fridika. Mercy, Lord. Laprikitoloma shalabara. Make sure you're holding somebody. Make sure you're holding somebody. If you're watching, touch your screen. Nikadalamatoloma shala. Mercy, Lord. Laprikitolomotofrenengala motofres. Longe de glamatolo moshalas, tolo matufriningeres, tolo matufrine, lembre glamatolo matufre, dolo matufres, tolo matufrines, tolo matufres, tolo matufriningertos, jiki tufrines, jelekara. In Jesus' name, Life for Children, join hands, all of you. All Life for, okay, I can see their joined hands already. I have a special prayer for you. All students. Students, whether you're in secondary school or your university, if you're still a student, this prayer is for you. And I want you to key your faith in. Listen carefully. Say, Lord, have mercy on us to receive your blood, to cleanse us from all unrighteousness, your life and your power in sufficient measure. I will pray that we'll all pray in the Spirit. Father, we come to pray for all of our students. Lord God, your word tells us in the book of Daniel that as for these four children, God gave them knowledge and understanding and wisdom in all science and in all learning. And they were found 10 times better than their peers. But we recognize and we understand that that was in the Old Testament. And we are now living under a better testament established upon better promises. And therefore I release a new measure of grace upon all of our students. That they will quantum leap to another level of wisdom, of understanding, of knowledge, having the ability of the mind of Christ, the wisdom of Solomon, the wisdom of Joseph, and the wisdom of Daniel, all put together, will not be equal to the wisdom you're going to give them. They will be wiser than Daniel. They will be wiser than Joseph. They will be wiser than Solomon. They will become a marvel to this generation. The light of God that is inside them will be a lampstand. It will become a lighthouse that will attract. And they say, where did you learn this from? Where did you know this from? And the word of the Lord will come and say, I have more understanding than all my teachers. Because your testimonies were my meditation. So shall it be in Jesus' name. Nekatoske frenenga tolomata fredelas. Remeshaliki. Rementosko frenena. Ramasala. Jelika. Mercy, Lord. Lambrike tolomatolomatofres. Tolomatofrenegama tolomatofres. Tolomatofres. Tolomatolomas. Tolomatofredes. Lombridili ketofrenes. Lambridikos Jeliko, mercy. Lambrakama Tolomatofres. Tolomatofre de Gabashela Fre. Ramatushka Fre. Lombridili. Zofridia. Lombridika Matofre. Lika Tolomatofres. Lombridela Matofre. Lombridufres. Tolomatofres. 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 Tolofredefres. Father, we thank you. You will do more than we ask or think because we pray in Jesus' name. I have a word. Please, brethren, this is not a day to be a prayerless Christian. Prayerless Christians would not be successful. It's not a curse. It's a fact. Key into God.
Please listen to me. This is just a prophetic declaration. The sons of Shem have had their season. The sons of Japheth have had their season, their day. Now is the day. If you notice, we started bringing Joseph upon ourselves. Mantle of Joseph upon us. We're now going to declare, when by the grace and the mercy of God is one under authority, we're going to ask the Lord. He says, call upon me, and I will answer. And show you great and mighty things that you know not of. We're going to call and open the door in the name of Jesus of this season of quantum leaps. Seven times the wall of Jericho fell down when the people went round. And so we're going to declare the season of the sons of Ham throughout the sphere where the black people raise this race. We are the ones that are going to do it.
Amen.
We understand the times and the season. And you see, and what God Israel ought to do. God has to be faithful to the sons of Ham before the end can come.
Absolutely. Completely.
And the signification has started.
Started
when Obama was put in the house. It's continuing. And the pace is increasing. So we're going to be declaring in the name of Jesus. So under authority we will shout quantum leaps. Not leap.
Leaps. Plural.
S. And we're going to do it seven times. Remember when Abacha had a problem. And we brought that. We cried to the Lord. He answered us. And he didn't leave that night out. When the presbytery and the congregation were one. This is our season. And so, Father, in the name of Jesus, is one under authority.
Of yes, Lord.
Father of this house. In unity of faith. Lord, as sons of Issachar. Understanding the times and
seasons. And what Israel
and
ought
what
to do.
Israel ought to do. Now you told that prophet, why did you stop?
Hey! Jesus.
Father Lord, we thank you. Because Lord, we stand and put in remembrance of your word. You've been faithful to the sons of Ham, Shem. You've been faithful to
the sons of Japheth.
Lord, and the Bible says Jesus was made a curse for us. Because cursed is everyone that hangeth on the tree. So we know the curse over us as sons of Ham has been removed.
Yes.
And so standing upon the premise of your word that says, call upon me and I will answer you. Lord, we come to declare the signification of the sound of the quantum leaps over the entirety of our race. In the name of Jesus. And knowing the husbandman that labors shall be partakers of the first fruit. Lord, we stand in the gap and we say, here we are, Lord. As we declare the signification of the same, Lord, you will put upon us the crown that you put on Joseph. You will separate us apart from our brothers, and you make us a prince amongst them in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
So as I say one, we shout it together. In the name of Jesus, one. In the name of Jesus, two.
Quantum leaps.
In the name of Jesus, three.
Quantum leaps.
In the name of Jesus, four.
Quantum leaps.
In the name of Jesus, five.
Quantum leaps.
In the name of Jesus, six.
Quantum leaps.
Now. In the name of Jesus, seven.
Quantum leaps.
Hallelujah. Father, we thank you. We give you praise. We give you worship. Thank you for glory. Thank you, Father, for every woman in Gaza. Oh, Lord God, in the name of Jesus, that we jump over. Thank you for every yoke of confinement and limitation that is broken. Thank you because, oh, Father, this is the sons of Ham. We before signs and wonders in Israel. There will be no limitation in the name of Jesus. We will be for signs and wonders throughout the whole earth in the name of Jesus. Like they came to Joseph, they will come to us in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.
Hallelujah. You can go back to your seats. We're going to close the service. Do you see why you have to come to church? I did not know what I was going to do. I did not know. I was not told. I was just told, go and give that message. I did not know. See, the blacks have been known for basketball, music, sports, fashion. Ain't nothing wrong with that. But we must come into our own. Where the other races, Shem and Japheth, have excelled, there is no black Nobel laureate in physics, none in chemistry, none in medicine, yet. What we have done now, we quantum leap you. You are not intellectually inferior. It's a question of light. It's a question of light. It's a question of light. Don't put yourself in a box. You are no longer confined. Oh, I'm in Nigeria, and therefore, because I'm in Nigeria, I'm confined. You are not confined. God will give you innovative ideas in Nigeria. Will write papers that will astound them and say, in Nigeria, you say yes. Can any good thing come out of Nazareth? And they will say, come and see. Join hands. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you. The Lord lift up the light of his countenance upon you. The Lord God gives you peace. God makes you head and not tail. Above only and not beneath. Everything you set your hand to is successful. You are at least 10 times better than your peers. You possess the gates of your enemies, even the gates of death. So you will live, you will not die. You will live and declare the glory of God in the land of the living. With long life will God satisfy you and show you his salvation in the perfection of fullness of Christ. So the Lord imparts unto you the anointings of Enoch, Abraham, Joseph, Moses, Joshua, Ruth, David, Elisha, Daniel, Esther, Paul, and John. In Jesus' name, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, Father, and the sweet fellowship of the blessed Holy Spirit, rest and abide with us now and forevermore. In Jesus' name. Turn to your neighbor and say, you labor by the grace of God that will give you quantum leaps. In Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. Live in